So I'm thinking, in fact, that this move towards secularism on the one hand and privatization of religion on the other hand, really do go back to Luther. He sort of anticipated it already in the Treatise on Christian Freedom, where he has this inner freedom of conscience and outwardly you serve the neighbor. He's willing to say, yeah, faith is fundamentally a matter of what's deep inside you. If you're willing to make that move, then you're going to be one of the people who will be tolerated early on in the process of the secularization of Christendom. But if your faith is an external thing, part of life in a community, then that makes you perhaps seditious. That makes you an Anabaptist. You might get persecuted. Now, I'm going to suggest that the Protestant tradition, therefore, can be thought of as having two key affinities. On the one hand, Protestantism has a real affinity with modernity, and especially with that characteristic modern philosophy that I will call liberalism. I'm going to be using this in a very, very broad sense, but we'll talk a little bit about what I mean by that. On the other hand, Protestant tradition has a deep affinity with the ancient tradition of Catholicism. Right? You don't have Protestants without Catholics, but you also don't have Protestants without modernity. Let me talk about these two affinities. First, the affinity with liberalism. Liberalism is, of course, a political movement. It also becomes a religious and theological movement, which is allied with political liberalism. Liberalism tends to be individualistic. It tends to turn to the individual as the source of knowledge. Right? It's all about what I can see for myself, what I can be certain of on the basis of what I can prove. Right? There's that question, how do you know? So modern, right? The modern question, how do you know? Well, I need to find some kind of basis of certainty. I'll find that maybe in my own knowledge, my own ability to prove it for myself, or in Protestant liberal theology, it's based on experience. I've experienced it in my own heart. Right? An individual turn to what's in your heart to find the basis of faith. This is what Luther would call fanaticism. Schwärmerei, it's believing in the spirit rather than the word. Right? It's not what Luther intended, but it is, I think, one of the outgrowths of the sort of secularization that happens in modernity. Public reason-giving, external sources of religious certainty become increasingly unconvincing. So you turn inward to your individual self, to the experience of the spirit, sort of like Karlstadt. You look at spirit rather than word. This is very pervasive in lots of forms of Protestantism, not just liberal Protestantism, interestingly enough. If you ask most young American evangelical Protestants, I've discovered, you ask them about God's word, and have you heard God's word recently? They'll say, oh yes, he speaks in my heart. Right? There's this turn to the individual inner self, the experience of the Spirit speaking within. That's not Luther's notion of hearing God's word. For Luther, you hear God's word in your ear, not in your heart. It's spoken, it's external, it's oral. Well, why would you want to believe in something external rather than in your own experience? Right? Modernity wants to believe in your own experience. Why would you want to be under an external authority? Modernity doesn't like external authorities. You want to see for yourself. Let me stick up for Luther here. There's something about this emphasis on the external authority of the Word of God that I really like. And it has to do with the fact that I think you know a person by hearing their words, by listening. I don't think you get to know persons simply by sort of experiencing them in your heart. Right? We have all sorts of emotions about other people, but that's not where we get to know them, really. We get to know them by listening, by hearing a word that comes from outside of our own heart, that doesn't come from us, that speaks about the truth of another person, and whose truth is dependent not on our ability to see it as true, but upon their truthfulness. It's as if to say, you don't know another person by looking at them, by seeing them. You know by hearing. Right? And Luther, of course, is the great theologian of hearing. You know who another person is if they're truthful, if they're honest, if they're trustworthy. You know how a trustworthy person is and what they are by hearing what they have to say for themselves and believing it. Right? You believe their word, you know who they are because they're telling the truth about themselves. And that means that your knowledge of the truth is not dependent on your own experience, not dependent on what you can see for yourself. It's dependent on their speech, on their truthfulness, the truthfulness of the other. I love that aspect of Luther. I think he's got that part right. If God is a person, not just a principle, not just an eternal truth that you see with your mind's eye, which Augustine is so good at talking about, but also a person, someone with a will and a heart, then he will make himself known by speaking, just as persons do. And to know God is to know what he says and believe it, because God speaks truthfully. That's the structure of Luther's theology of the gospel. I think that's right. And that means, you see, that to turn to your own experience is to turn away from this external source of knowledge.